Hello, welcome back to Clarity On. My name is Glyn Bolton. I'm the investment director here at Clarity, and I'm sitting with David Eve, our investment manager, and we're going to talk a little bit about fixed interest and the current climate for fixed interest investments.
Clarity On is brought to you by Clarity, experts in strategic financial planning and investment management. With over 25 years of experience in the field, our award-winning team are well positioned to help people navigate the complex world of finance.
When you're talking about fixed interest, of course, the initial question is always, what exactly is fixed interest? When I was attending financial planner school way back in the late 80s, they taught me that fixed interest was one of the four main elements of any portfolio. The four elements being fixed interest, of course, equity, cash, and property. Fixed interest is essentially a loan that the investor makes. So the investor is making a loan to an institution, could be a government, could be a company, and they're making that loan generally for a fixed period. And they're receiving a fixed amount of income for it. So a typical fixed interest investment might be a government bond, which would typically be called Treasury something or other. So if it's Treasury 2% 2021, then it is going to pay you 2%. You're lending it to the government, so you're not getting a great rate of interest, and you'll get that until 2021. Of course, 2021 has just gone past, but if it's 2031, then you'll be getting it to 2031. Generally speaking, the longer a fixed interest investment has to go until maturity, the more volatile its price will be, because if you've got a fixed rate of interest and a long time over which it is paid, then the value is likely to go up and down as interest rates fluctuate. Whereas a fixed interest investment with a shorter date to maturity will generally be less volatile. Fixed interest investments issued by companies will generally have a much higher rate of interest than a government bond. So you might get 8% or so from a reputable company, and if a company is not so reputable and thought to be an investment risk, you might get an even higher rate of return on their fixed interest investment, but of course you run the risk of them defaulting on that. Fixed interest investments are generally first in the queue for the assets of a company. If a company goes bankrupt, so you generally come ahead of the equity holders. So fixed interest is generally considered to be a less volatile form of investment than equity, and slightly more reliable from the point of view of income than property investment. So it's essentially a cautious element to a portfolio. So David, interest rates have been up and down for a little bit over the last few months. What's actually happening to the fixed interest market at the moment?
Hi Glenn. Basically, what's happened certainly in the last month or so is that US corporate bond markets are, according to the FT, on fire. Companies have sold a record $150 billion worth of debt since January 2024, so this month, which is the busiest opening to the year for more than three decades. Borrowers are rushing to lock in low interest costs, while investors are keen to buy new bonds before policymakers start cutting US interest rates later this year. 2022 was literally the worst year ever for bonds. 2023 wasn't going so well. But then the last 2 months of 2023 saw much more positive news about inflation, and people came coming back into bonds. The view seems to be that government bonds are looking the most attractive as the year goes on. According to Morningstar Research, or Morningstar Investment Management, they said government bonds in the developed world currently look as attractive as they've seen in a decade. The material increase in bond yields has improved their attractiveness versus other assets and for portfolio risk management more generally. This applies to the UK, US and Australia, where real yields are now positive, so they are higher than inflation. Credit quality has also improved for high yield bonds, and government bonds tend to perform well during downturns as part of their defensive mandate. So things are looking better in there than they have for a while. Bonds are still correlated quite closely with equities, so you're maybe not getting the benefit as you'd hope for on sort of medium to long term basis, but certainly it's much more encouraging and we've seen the last few years, and bond managers are being brought out by the fund houses again, which is always encouraging. Yeah, they're looking to sell. They're looking to sell their funds, which is you can get the feel of the market by that. If they're bringing out fund managers for the funds that they want to sell, and they're obviously encouraged, and they think that it's going to do better this year, having had rough times in the last couple of years.
Yes, I mean, whenever I'm talking to clients, I seem to always say that we're in unprecedented times, and we're in unprecedented times again. The bond market is influenced by government policy, and the quantitative easing certainly had a significant effect on the bond market. And I think we had a bull market in bonds, correct me if I'm wrong, David, for a good kind of 15 years or so, until 2022 or so, or thereabouts. Going forward, bonds are looking like they may well have a slightly brighter period this year. Interest rates likely to go down in the US, you say, David?
Yeah, the consensus for 2024 expects normalising growth and fading inflation to underpin an optimistic case for financial returns. People are reckoning on a recession being avoided or averted. That's not necessarily true. Obviously, these things have to be taken with this scenario, that scenario kind of thing. It seems a little bit ambitious or overly optimistic maybe to say they're going to avoid a recession. They may well avoid recession, but there are factors at play that might not make this happen. Inverted yield curve has traditionally been a predictor of recessions, and it's still inverted. And then there's various indexes and economic indexes at four recession levels. The US Conference Board is a popular one. And despite a recent upswing in its six-month growth rate, the US LEI, which is the leading economic index, continues to signal recession. That was in sort of mid-December when that was last done. So there are definitely mixed data signals coming out, which is confusing.
They're always.
As an aside, there's 50 elections happening this year, so geopolitical events are certainly at the top of the list. Who knows what's going to transpire? Already the Taiwanese have voted in an anti-China head of state. March, recently, in the last few years, has been the month when everything seems to go off. Basically, COVID, the Russia-Ukraine crisis, the inflation crisis, the banking crisis of last year, all happened in March. So January, February, you're thinking, oh, okay, maybe we're in for something. It's not going to be too bad. Then March comes along and ruins it for everyone with all sorts of events. So it's hard to see just if everything's just going to go la-di-da and back to golden times. It seems that the new paradigm is upon us. It's not just going to go back to pre-COVID times. It's going to be different with inflation being stickier for longer. The dream of 2% seems hard to achieve, I think, certainly in a year, maybe 2 years. But I think it's hard. We need to be prepared for whatever's going to come down the pipe.
Yeah, well, that's what building a portfolio is all about, of course. You build something that's resilient. The one thing that we can never, ever do is predict the future. I'd like to be able to predict 20 minutes into the future, never mind 10 years. Now, the reason for holding fixed interest on the portfolio, of course, is for a lack of volatility, for stability in a portfolio. And that stability lends itself to someone with a shorter duration on their portfolio, someone who might want their money back sooner rather than later. So in our more cautious portfolios, there's quite a heavy element of bond investment in those. It adds a certain anchor to the portfolio. So if you're likely to want to draw down on it sooner rather than later, then you should really think about having a fixed interest element in your portfolio. Our approach to fixed interest is explained quite clearly in our research note, which I think you'll be able to get attached to this podcast, and you'll be able to find the link there. And do please remember that you can follow Clarity on Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and Threads. Thank you for listening.